And I want three girls that can be perfect models that will stand perfectly still, and when I point at you, you come on that stage and you stand perfectly still, and that's all you have to do. That girl there. Right? That girl there. And that girl there. Yes. You come round there and up here. This girl here, come first. Can you hear me up there? Lovely. That girl, come first. Now, what I'm going to do right now is to show you what God wants to do in your body. Here is a body. It is comprised, as far as God is concerned, with body. That's the thing that you see, the soul, the personality in the body, and a spirit that can give you contact with God. Now, God cannot come into our bodies because of two things. That girl there, come. I'm going to call her Rascal Sin. That girl there, come. I'm going to call her Nellie Will. Right? Will Sin. Now, God cannot come into a life whilst there's sin. Now, why? We say a person has an unclean mind. It doesn't mean to say if a surgeon operated on the brain, it would be all unclean. But it means that the person thinks evilly. We say that a person has an unclean tongue. It doesn't mean to say if this girl put her tongue out, it would be dirty. But it means she speaks evil things. Sin makes man inwardly unclean as far as God is concerned. And therefore he cannot come into this life whilst there is sin. That is why Jesus Christ came into the world and he died on the cross, so that he might bear the judgment for this sin. And when he died on the cross, instead of the judgment of God coming upon this person with sin, it came upon him on the cross. And through his blood, sin can be completely and absolutely forgiven. But inside every one of us, there is this power called will. This makes us basically a human being. This girl goes into a shop and her mother gives her some money, and if she is allowed to, she's able to choose her own dress. That's her will. This girl goes to school when she gets a little older, and in some schools she's able to choose her own subjects. That's will. And when she gets older, she's able to choose. When she gets older, she's able to choose, if she's in love, the man that she wants to marry. That's will. Now, because we have a will, we can do two things. When a person becomes a Christian, they have to do this. Open their will and heart to the Lord Jesus. Or they can do this. Reject him. They can receive him, or they can reject him. Now I want to show you something that's very wonderful. There comes a time in a person's life, young or old, when the Lord Jesus comes near that person. You cannot see him. Why? Because sin has blinded our eyes, and if we could see the Lord Jesus, it would be too much for us, because his glory would be dazzling. So in a way, we're all blindfolded like that, and we can't see him. Just like if I had a wireless set, all round that wireless set there would be sound waves. We can't see them. We can't feel them, but they're there. For instance, in this tent at this moment, there are thousands of voices, and if I had a certain kind of set, I could tune into those voices. In like manner, the Lord is here, but we can't see him, and we are blinded, really, by our sin. But I'm going to show you now what the Scripture says. which is very wonderful. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Not the church door, not your street door, but your life's door. He wants to come into our lives, but he can't come in whilst there's sin. But sin now can be all forgiven. Why? Because Christ died for our sin. But the Lord Jesus cannot come in until this girl longs to receive him. Or she may reject him. Now I'm going to show you what actually happens when a person becomes a Christian. First of all, God begins to worry us about our sins. He says quietly, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then he warns us in love and says, "The wages of sin is death." That means if you die with sin in you, I cannot take you into my presence. You will be lost forever. That's a tragedy. Then God says, "But I loved you, and the Lord Jesus died for you. And because he died for you, your sins can all be forgiven." And then he starts knocking, that he might come into your life. And may I say this, there are older people here tonight that we love deeply, and he's been knocking on your heart's door for years, isn't he? There are middle-aged people, and he's been knocking for years. There are young people, and he's knocking for the first time. Now we're going to see this girl receiving the Lord Jesus. She goes home quietly. She goes into her bedroom. She bows her head. And right from her heart, she says, "Lord, I'm tired of sin. I love the Lord Jesus. I want him to come into my life and cleanse me from sin, so that he might live his life in me." And this is what happens. Because Christ died, he puts away sin once and forever. There's the answer. Get out of sight, my lovey. That's lovely. Never to be seen again. She opens her will and heart, and into that life there comes the Lord Jesus. And she is saved. She doesn't feel him coming into her body. Why? I'm going to ask her some questions. Do you feel the blood running through your arms? No? You don't, do you? I hope not. Do you feel the brain working in your little skull here? Do you? No, of course you don't. Do you feel your eardrums working? No. If she did feel the blood going through her veins, if she did feel her brain working, she would be very ill. But nature works silently. Now watch this. When the Lord comes in, he comes in silently, quietly. You don't feel him. And the only way in which you can be sure that he has come in is to rely on God's word when he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Now what this girl has to do when she receives Christ is to feed upon his word, to pray, to witness, so that the life of the Lord Jesus can grow through her, so that year by year she becomes more like the Lord Jesus. So now we're going to learn this great lesson of receiving Christ into our lives now. Now. All right? Back you go. And come to me afterwards, you'll get a class. You didn't mind being this rascal sin, did you? Good. Now, we have worked on a number of parables that illustrate the lesson that we have taught boys and girls and young people. And now I'm going to give them their story called The Haunted House. And after that, I think you'll understand the meaning of the story that I want to give them. Now, would you watch very carefully for the worms? Have you got a pen there? The monkeys? And then the alligators and the human beings. Many years ago, a young man went to London and he went to school and he was rather tired of religion because Mum and Dad used to read the Bible every morning to him. When he got to the age of 16 and he left school and he got rather a good job, he said in the quietness of his mind, "When I get older, I'm going to leave home. I'm sick and tired of all this religion." When he got to the age of 18, he realized that there was a God, though of course he didn't like to believe it. He realized that Jesus was really there, although he wouldn't accept it. So he did something like this. He closed his ears, he pulled down the shutters of his mind, and he wouldn't believe a thing. But he realized he was very foolish. When he was 21 and he got his big wage packet, for he was an engineer, he was a turner, he thought, right, now I'm going to save my money, and within a year or two I'll be able to leave home, hire a flat, and live on my own. And he saved up arduously. And after 18 months he had enough money to really get some furniture and then get a flat on his own. He went through the London Evening News and he was looking at the column that they have for flats and houses, and he noticed that there was a man by the name of Mr. Lucy who was advertising houses and flats, so he went to see him. He knocked on the door and to his surprise, Mr. Lucy himself came to the door, and what a smart man he was. He had a beautiful black suit that was all handmade. He had deep black eyes, a beautiful silk tie, a lovely little rose in his lapel, and he was absolutely immaculate. And he looked at this young man and said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jack Smith." He said, "What have you come for?" He said, "You were advertising flats and houses in the Evening News. I wonder if you could help me." And he looked, he smiled, in fact he chuckled, and he said, "Yes. I have a house called Pasuke." He says, "What?" "I have a house called Pasuke. It's 45 Farmerlow Road. There's the keys. See if you like it." Little did this boy realize what kind of house it was. So he went and found the house Pasuke. He put the key in the door, turned it, walked in, and it nearly took his breath away. The house was absolutely beautifully furnished. The lounge was all new. The dining room had some of the best furniture that money could buy. The kitchen was an absolute dream. The bedrooms were immaculately furnished. And the bathroom was right out of this world. But there was one room that he couldn't get in. He tried all the keys, and they didn't fit. And then, being a big lad, he thought, right, I'll try brute force. So he put his shoulder to the door, but it wouldn't budge. And then he did something that no one should do. He looked and got his foot on the door, and with all his might, he tried to push it open. But it didn't budge. So he went out and he was rather cross. He said, "That man Lucy is tantalizing me. I'll never be able to afford this house." So when he got back to the house, he gave him the keys. He says, "A lovely house, but who can afford that?" And Lucy said in a quiet voice, "£6 or $12 a week, do you?" He nearly fell down dead. "Say it again. $12 a week." He took out his wallet and he gave him a month's rent in advance, snatched the key from his hand, and he was off. Little did he realize what was going to happen. He got home and he told his mum and dad the truth, and he says, "Look, I must tell you the fact. I don't believe in your God, and I don't believe in your Jesus, and I'm sick and tired of all the religion, and I'm going to leave home. I want to be free. I want to be free." And mum burst into tears. Dad had to go away. He was ill. But off he went. He packed out his bags, sat in the chair, and he said, "I'm absolutely free. Do what I like, say what I like, think what I like, bring any kind of books in, bring all my mates in. I can smoke, drink, do the lot." Well, after a week, he was turning at his lathe, and he saw by the side of his lathe an engineering machine, a beautiful automatic screwdriver, just what he wanted. He picked it up, put it down his side overall pocket, and then stuffed the top of his handkerchief on the top so that no one would see. The old fitter that owned the screwdriver, he came back and he said, "Jack, have you seen my screwdriver?" "No." That was a lie. He said, "I put it at the end of your bench." "Haven't seen it." Another lie. "But," he said, "my wife bought that for my birthday. It means a lot to me. I'm sure I put it there." "Haven't seen it." Another lie. When he got home, he took the handkerchief away and he took out the screwdriver and he smiled and said, "Got that for nothing." And he looked up and his eyes nearly popped out of his head. He saw this: "You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness, tell lies." And he said, talking to himself, "Who wrote that in the wall?" And he went all over the house and couldn't find a person. And he was scared. A week later, someone gave him a book and conscience said something like this: "Jack, don't read it. It was filthy." He went home, sat in his easy chair, turned on the special light, and he started to read. And when he had finished reading the book, on the wall in the lounge was the very evil picture that he had thought. And it was filthy. And he was so angry, he said this: "Who put that there? Someone knows even my thoughts in this house." And he went all over the house, looking under the bed, opening drawers, opening everything. Couldn't find a person. It wasn't long before he realized every evil thought that went through his brain, every bad word that he said, every act of deceit, everything that he did wrong, whether he knew about it or he didn't, it was registered in that house passage. And before long, the house was filling up with wrong deeds. So do you know what he did? In some of the rooms where the walls were full of nasty writing and unclean things, he pulled down the blinds so that no one could look in. And he had to live on artificial light. But it wasn't long, young people, before every room was full up with these evil things that he had done, so all the blinds were down and he was in darkness. One day, he looked at that evil thought picture and he looked at some of the private things he used to do in the quietness of the bathroom, and they were all there, and he thought, "I must get rid of them. My best friends wouldn't like to see them." When all of a sudden he heard a knock. He lifted the blind and there was Lucy. He went to the door and opened the door and he walked in without an invitation. And when he went all over the house looking at thought pictures, evil actions, wicked things that had been done by this boy, guess what he did? He patted him on the back and said, "Lovely work. More of that. More of that." And when he came back into the lounge, He stripped off his top coat, pulled off his wig, took off his moustache, and Lucy was Lucifer, the devil himself. And then he said with a chuckle, "Jack, I've got you. Just like this, and you're trapped." And when he went, Jack walked up and down the room saying this, "I thought I was free. I left home to be free. But I'm trapped by sin. And I'm trapped by the devil and I can't get out." And so with determination, boys and girls, young people, mums and dads, he tried to wash them off the wall, but they wouldn't wash off. And would you believe it? He was so determined to get them off the wall, he got a hammer and chisel, and he started to knock the plaster off. And he says, "I'll plaster the house again." But he discovered that those sins went right into the brickwork. He wasn't a crybaby. He was a strong fellow, a determined mind. But he turned the lights out, and he did this. And this is what he said. "Oh God, I'm trapped by sin and I'm lost. And just then he heard a knock. He lifted the blinds and rubbed his eyes. And it was a man entirely different from Lucy. But he said, "No one's getting in this house." And he put his foot right behind the door and just opened it so a crack could be seen. And he said, "What do you want?" And the man quietly said, "My name is Light. I know what's in your house, Jack." And he told him everything. In fact, he told him where sins were that he knew nothing about. And he was just going to say something to him, and Jack did this. He slammed the door in his face, ran upstairs. He said that there were sins in the dust under the bed. And he looked under the bed, and this is what he read. "You lust. You lie. You've been immoral. You could be a drunkard." "Boy," he said, "how true that is." What did he say his name was? Light. And then it dawned on him. Didn't Jesus say he was the light of the world? And he called on me and told me the truth. And I slammed the door in his face. Poor Jack was in a dilemma. One day, when it was all quiet, all the blinds down, he got down on his knees and guess what he said? "Lord, forgive me for running away. Forgive me for being so sinful and evil. Would you send back that man called the light of the world, I believe his name is Jesus. Would you send him back?" One day he was reading his Bible and he heard a knock like this. He lifted the blind and it was a man right like Mr. Light. So he ran to the door and opened it and the man said this, "My name is Love. I know what's in your house," and he told him everything, even his secret. And then he said, "Jack, I love you." And he opened his hands and they were pierced. He pulled aside his suiting and there was a spear mark. He kicked off his shoes and his feet were pierced and he quietly said, "Jack, I died for you. I bore your sin. And if you let me in that house, you see that secret room that you can't get in?" "Yes."
I've got the key to that room. And I'll come and live in that room and control you and this house. But, Jack, there's one condition. I won't come in just to make your house clean. I've got to come in to be master and lord, too.
Jack, look back into the dark house and it seemed darker in the presence of Mr. Love. He looked right in the face of Mr. Love, who was the Lord Jesus, and he could see absolute sincerity and truth. And he pulled the door back as far as it would go, and he said, "Please come in to save me and cleanse me and be my absolute Lord. Please come in." And he came in. The dust and the filth and the evil pictures all went. The blinds all went up and the light came in. And he went into that small room and controlled Jack forever. "Watch my body. Watch my coat. Jesus is standing at your heart's door now, knocking. Who's going to let him in? Who's going to let the Savior in right now? Let's pray." As our heads are bowed and our hearts bowed too, the Lord Jesus is here tonight in a special way. And his longing to come into your heart and life to cleanse you from sin and to take over your life to control it. Don't reject him. Don't slam the door in his face. Don't neglect him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he loves you. Quietly now, as your head is bowed, whether you are a boy or a girl, man or woman, receive the Savior right now. Ask him to cleanse you from sin. Thank him for his precious blood. Thank him for dying for you. And receive him into your life as Savior. That means the forgiver of your sin, the Savior of your soul. And as your Lord, that means from tonight, he will totally control your life. And thank God he will never spoil it, but he will remake it. May God help many, many to receive the Savior now. Shall we spend just a few moments in very quiet prayer? Would everyone be still? Would every Christian pray that many might receive the Savior now in this quietness?